Good morning. Salvation. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. Psalm 3 and verse 8. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. Psalm 13 verse 5. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. And let the God of my salvation be exalted. Psalm 18:46. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Psalm 62 and verse 7. The word salvation occurs 164 times in the Bible. 63 of those times are in the book of Psalms, as we looked at some of those. The topic, the meaning of salvation, is one that was assigned to me at school. The meaning of salvation. It is obvious with the number of times that this word is used in the Bible. Of course, every word in the Bible is important. But a word that is repeated so many times surely has great importance. So it is important to look at the meaning of this word. Well, the word meaning can be interpreted in two different ways. The first is the definition of a word. Dictionary.com says, what is intended to be or actually is expressed or indicated. That is what meaning is. So in this sense, the meaning of salvation is deliverance from sin and the spiritual consequences of that sin. However, the word meaning also has a second definition. And according to Dictionary.com, that is the end, purpose, or significance of something. So this morning, I would like to focus on the meaning of salvation in the sense of the significance of salvation, the importance of salvation. So in looking at this, there are two things that we must keep in mind. The first is that salvation is significant to God. Salvation is important to God. It was so important to God that he made a plan for our salvation. He knew that man has a need for salvation. Look in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. The Bible reads, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us has fallen short. Every single one of us has sinned. And this sin has consequences. We find those consequences in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Romans chapter 6. And verse 23, the Bible reads, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So there we see that because of our sin, we all deserve death. But God has made this plan. He has provided a way for us to have this gift of eternal life, this gift of salvation. God knew that we would fall short. He knew that we would sin. So he set about making this plan for our salvation. In Genesis chapter 3, we read of the fall of man. Man had but one commandment, and they violated that. And as such, they were cast out of the garden. God had full intentions for them to stay in the garden, but because they disobeyed, they were cast out. And man needed salvation. And it was then that God started to carry out his plan for our salvation. It began with the patriarchs. He communicated directly with the heads of the household, told them his will so they could communicate it to their family and they could be obedient to God. Then we see God instituted the law of Moses. He delivered the law to Moses to be delivered to the people. But we see in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24 and verse 25, we see the purpose of the law. Galatians chapter 3, verses 24 and 25. Here we learn that this was not a permanent measure. Galatians chapter 3, verses 24 and 25. The Bible reads, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. The entire purpose of the law of Moses was to bring us to Christ. It was to get us to that point. And we see that God's plan for our salvation culminated in Christ's death. Look in Acts chapter 2, verses 22 and 23. Acts chapter 2, verses 22 and 23. Here, Peter speaking on Pentecost, the Bible reads, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." Christ's death was determined by God. God knew that this was what was going to happen before it happened. It was all a part of his plan. Also look in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. The Bible reads, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times before you." We see here that God had made this plan even before the world was created. Before the heavens and the earth were created in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. God had made this plan for our salvation. He had made this plan to send Christ to die for us. We see this again in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. The Bible reads, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Again, we see that Christ was planned by God before the foundation of the world. This fact that God made this plan for us, he created this plan because it was important to him. Salvation was important. That is why he created this plan for us. We also see the significance of salvation in the fact that God sent his Son to die for us. He sent his Son to provide salvation for us because it was important to him. He did it out of love. God loves every single one of us. John chapter 3 and verse 16. This verse that many of us are familiar with. John chapter 3 and verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God made this plan because he loves us. God sent his own Son because he loves us. And he also did it to redeem us from sin. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. The Bible reads, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." He did it to redeem us. And he did it to give us life. 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. The Bible reads, "And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Again, we see here, God sent his Son out of love, and he did it so that we could have life. Would any of us here today send our Son to die for the world? Sometimes it's easy to overlook the gravity of this, the importance, the significance of this. God sent his Son, his only Son, to this earth to die for us, for everyone out there, for the entire world. Would we do the same? We also can't overlook the fact that Jesus did this willingly, because salvation was important to him as well. As part of the Godhead, Jesus loves us. And he wanted us to have salvation. And he wanted us to have salvation so bad that he gave himself for us. He died that cruel death on the cross for all of us when we didn't deserve it. Look in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. The Bible reads, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." He died for us when we were sinners. He didn't die for people who are righteous. He died for people who didn't deserve it. None of us do. But we must be thankful that he did. And when he did this, he bore our sins. All the horrible things, all the transgressions we have made against God, Jesus bore those for us on the cross. We see this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 22 through 24. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 24. The Bible reads, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but commendeth himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." Just think all of the things that we have done, all of the violations that we have committed against God. Jesus bore those for us. He did it because it was important to him. It was important to him that we have salvation. And by doing this, Jesus saved us. He saved us from sin. Look in the book of Luke, chapter 19 and verse 10. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. The Bible reads, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." This was Jesus' mission. The entire purpose for him coming to the earth was to seek and save the lost, to save us from our sins, to do what we could not do on our own. That is what Jesus did for us. And by doing it, he became the author of our salvation. We read of this in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. The Bible reads, "And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." By dying on that cross, Jesus authored our salvation. He brought it into existence. He did it because it was important. It was significant. We couldn't have life without it. The second thing that we must keep in mind when talking about the significance of salvation, we looked at how significant salvation is to God, but we must also realize that salvation is significant to us. Salvation is important to each and every one of us. Salvation is important because it brings freedom from sin. Jesus saved us from our sin like we looked at earlier. Look in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. The Bible reads, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." That is what Jesus did. We can have freedom from our sins. We can be saved from our sins through salvation in Jesus. We know that our sins are washed away in baptism. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The whole purpose for baptism is the remission of sins, the washing away of sins. That is what we can have in salvation. And from that point forward, we are dead to sin. Sin is no longer a part of our life. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. The Bible reads, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin." We see here in verses 1 through 2, we no longer continue in sin. After we have put on Christ, sin is no longer a part of our life. We have put it aside. We have decided to look towards something better, to practice something better, to live like Christ did. We walk in a newness of life, it says in verse 4. And we know in verses 6 through 7 that we are no longer servants to sin. We are no longer slaves to sin. That is what everyone outside of Christ is. They are a slave to sin. Sin is in control of their life. But through salvation, we can have freedom from this. We can be free. Salvation also brings the promise of something better. I honestly have to pity the many people out there who are atheists, who believe that this life is all there is, that there's nothing beyond it. How sad a life that must be, to have nothing to look forward to but this life. But because of salvation, we can have the promise, the assurance of something better. Look in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 23. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 23. Here Paul wrote, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." Paul recognized that what was awaiting him in the afterlife was so much better than this earth. It was so much better than this life. This is what we can have through salvation. We can have something to look forward to. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. The Bible reads, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our house which is from heaven." Here Paul wrote, he was earnestly desiring what was awaiting him. He was groaning for it. He was ready for it. Also look in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Here we see the confidence that Paul had, the assurance, the hope that Paul had, and is what every single one of us can have through salvation. 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8. "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing." Here Paul says, "I have kept the faith." Oh, that every single one of us, oh, that every Christian on their deathbed could say, "I have kept the faith." That is what we should be able to say. We need to live our lives so that when we reach that point, we can say that. We can say, "I have fought the good fight. I have kept my course. I have kept the faith." That way we can be assured that laid up for us is a crown of righteousness. Laid up for us is a spot in heaven with God. We know that we can have this confidence. We can have this hope. We can have this assurance if we live as the Bible tells us to. And this promise is the promise of heaven, something so great that we can't even comprehend it. Look in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4. The Bible reads, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And look over in chapter 22 and verse 5, Revelation 22 and verse 5. "And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." How great to think of a place that is free from sorrow, free from pain, free from night and darkness, because we are with God. That is what we should strive for. And that is why salvation is so important. We also have to realize that salvation is not just available to a few. It's available to all of us. That is important. That is significant. Every single person on this earth can attain salvation. Look in Romans chapter 2 and verse 11. Romans chapter 2 and verse 11. The Bible reads, "For there is no respect of persons with God." Living on this earth, we see that people play favorites. People pick and choose, treat each other differently. God is not that way. God will treat every single one of us the same. God offers salvation to every single person because that is the nature of God. Look in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. The Bible reads, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." All mankind. Salvation has been brought to mankind through the grace of God. All of mankind. Every single one of us can have salvation. It is not restricted to a few. It's significant because it is universal. It is available to all. And the most important thing that we must realize about the significance of salvation is that we are talking about our soul, our immortal soul. There is nothing more important than our soul. Nothing. Look in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26. Here we see the importance of our soul. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26. "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Of all the things in this world, of all the things that exist, nothing is as important as our soul. It is worth nothing if we lose our soul. Our soul is the most important thing there is. Because our soul will go to an eternal destination. We are talking about an eternal matter. Salvation is an eternal matter. We are talking about heaven or hell for all eternity. Look in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46. Here Jesus said, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment." He's talking about the unrighteous. "But the righteous into life eternal." So the unrighteous will go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous will go into life eternal. Either way, it's an eternal matter. Salvation is extremely important because we are talking about eternity. We're talking about our souls. Looking at all these things, we see the importance, the significance of salvation. It's important to God, but it's also important to us as humans. We need to live every day in light of this fact. How often do we take our salvation for granted? Do we just not even give a thought to it. We need to realize how important it is. And we need to live our lives. As the Bible says, we need to live our lives with salvation in mind. Tonight, or this morning rather, sorry. There may be some who don't have salvation, who are outside the Lord's body, who need to access that saving blood of Jesus Christ. We would urge you, in light of how important salvation is, make the decision to put on Christ. Make the decision to be saved. We're willing to help you with that. Or perhaps there are others who have taken their salvation for granted, who have neglected the significant thing that they have attained, who have gone back into the world. We'd urge you to come forward as well. We want to help you. We want you to help you make your life right and to live your life in light of the significance of salvation. Or perhaps there are some here who just need the prayers of the church. Whatever your need might be, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.